Well, we're going to give everyone a very warm welcome. If you're here tonight and you have been invited, we're glad that you responded to the invitation, and we hope that you will come back. Of course, this meeting happens every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, and there will be different people speaking each night. Tonight there are three of us, myself, and then I'm David Hurley High, and then Titus Rayner and Paul McKenzie. So we're glad that you can be here, and we are glad to share with our brethren in this work tonight of preaching the gospel. Let's speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. The hymn writer has said that there is tremendous joy, oh, the joy in having Jesus. And we thank thee that we have him, we know him, he is our Savior. And to have this wonderful knowledge of sins forgiven through him, there's nothing that can be compared with it in all the world. The futility of gaining the world but losing our soul and our opportunity to be with God forever. How futile life would be, how empty it would be. And so we give thanks that we have the Word of God with the truth in it, and we would pray that tonight all three of us would have the help of God in just bringing forth some part of the message. And like so many times in the past, there might be like a chain, and every speaker just another link in that chain as we present a rounded message. And we would pray for thy blessing then, as we would pray for help in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read a story from the book of Luke, please, in chapter 14. The book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14. And we will read at verse 12. Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him or invited him, this is the Lord Jesus, and he had been invited to someone else's house for supper. He says, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, but for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat heard these things, he said, blessed be he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he said, a certain man made a great supper and invited in bed many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I have spoken on this different times in the gospel, and it's a great illustration of the gospel, this story that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus. It was actually, there's a bigger story, if you will. The narrative is concerning the Lord Jesus while he had been invited to someone else's house. And as he looked at the people around there, we didn't actually read it, but we're going to touch on what happened in a minute. As he looked around at the others that were at that feast, there was something in his mind and his heart, and there was a message that came out, and he told a story about a greater supper. And it illustrates for us the gospel supper, the supper that God has put on for us when he has given his son, and there is a satisfaction that we can have, not based on what we are worthy of, but based upon the heart of God's grace and his kindness. And so that's really a story, if you will, and then there's a story within the story. So, and really, I was thinking about this afternoon. I know that I spoke on this at a conference a couple of weeks ago. Some of you were there, but it's a different message tonight, I think. It's just, I was thinking this afternoon as I was out for a little walk, and I was thinking about this, and I began to think about the different seats that were found at this supper. And so I want to think about the seats that were at the supper, because that's really what caused the Lord Jesus to tell this story. Because there was something that happened at this supper where he sat that caused him to tell this story. Now, we're not always early at the suppers, are we? Sometimes people go early to get the best seat. And sometimes the rest of us just come in a little bit later and we just take the seats that are left. But at this story, at this table where the Lord Jesus had been invited, he looked around at the people that were kind of coming together for the meal. Now you kind of have to understand how they would do it. In that culture, the head of the table was for the head of the home. The most important person would sit, or else the guest of honor would be there and he would be served. But the most important seat was at the head of the table. And then arranged according to that, in order of importance, were other people until finally you would get at the tail end of the table as they would recline upon the floor, and that would be the least important person. So that it was not just about getting seated beside someone that you like to talk with. Sometimes that happens at weddings where I'm invited. I married one couple, and I don't know, a couple hundred guests that were there, and try as I might, I couldn't find our names at the table because we weren't there. We were invited to the supper, but there was no chair for us. And so there had to be just at the end of a table, there was a couple of chairs squished on. Well, that was fine with us, but the whole idea of importance and social order, so to speak, was illustrated at the tables in that house. Most important person at the head, and then degrees of importance, if you will, of social importance. And the Lord Jesus looked at that setup, and he watched people, and I'm sure they were not likely cutting in front of each other or pushing each other into the way. Usually civilization brings something out in us that we're a little more careful than that, aren't we? But as the Lord Jesus watched them, he saw that everyone was trying to get as close to the head of the table as they could get. He watched them. They were taking the highest place. And the Lord Jesus said, when you come to a table, he said, don't take the highest place. He said, take the lowest place. And then maybe the host will come and say, no, you're more important than that. Move up further. So just I was thinking about that then. And really the best way then to get a seat at the table, at this table, would have been to let the person that had the power to judge decide the seat that we should have. Now, just think about that. The best way is to let the person who is the judge decide what seat I should take. You say, why is that? Why are you making such a big deal about that? Why are you starting off your message with that? Well, when it comes to the supper, if we were to look at the supper as a great feast in heaven, you see, heaven would be like that. Heaven would, certainly there would be a most important seat. And yet there is not, as people might think, a sort of a social class of order, of importance. No, heaven is filled with people that do not deserve to be there. People that will feel so humbled to find themselves there in heaven. But heaven will be filled with people, and that's exactly what they have done. They have allowed the judge to designate their seat. You see, religion gives us a class, doesn't it? You know, within certain places, if you go to a church for a wedding or a funeral, you'll see there are certain plaques, and there's places where names will be listed, and they've donated this amount, and this pew has been bought by this person. And you know, there are certain people in that church, and they have carved themselves out a place in that community by religious service, by doing good. They have somehow gained respect, the respect of others. But people don't realize this, that regardless of what I do in the sight of humanity, of the sight of my fellow mankind, humankind, it does nothing for me in the sight of God. And we come back to the story and the wording of the Lord Jesus, and the teaching of the passage is this: to allow the judge to give me the seat that he says I should take. So think about that table in heaven then. What seat would the judge of heaven give you in this meeting tonight? Do you think it's somehow a religious service kind of order, and the more you have done, you'll be higher on that table? You'll take a higher room? You see, that's what we think. Religion teaches us that we become better and we become higher. But that's not in the mind of God. It's not in the Word of God. The judge gives all of us the same seat. That's what it boils down to. The judge has declared that every one of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that when it comes to this table in the story that the Lord Jesus is talking about, not so much the story where he was with people just kind of trying to get in front of the other as civilized as they could, but wanting the highest place, the Lord teaches that take the lowest room and then wait to be exalted. The person who humbles himself, he says, they will be lifted up. They will be exalted. So tonight, when it comes to the gospel, square one, the place that we must start is where God starts. And that means we all start with the seat that God gives us. Just the seat for a sinner. Just the seat of we who are unworthy. And we have to humble ourselves. We have to be humble in the sight of God. We have to acknowledge that the judge has the right to decide. You see, that's what it will be at the judgment of the great white throne. God will show people who are there exactly what they deserve. So that if we were to try to approach God based on what we deserve, then there is no salvation for a person like that. There's no seat at God's table. The Bible says that salvation is by grace. It's as a gift. Just as this supper was a gift from the heart of the giver, the man who put it on, salvation is by grace. And it's not of works, because we would boast about it. So that when it comes to God's table, those who refuse the place that God gives them just to enter the door as a sinner, they will be judged and it will be proved that we are sinners. So the seats that they were choosing is the first thing then. The seats that they were trying to choose, they were trying to choose the best seats, the seats that they deserved, the seats that they thought they were worthy of. We would just ask you to consider the Word of God and acknowledge that's not how we get to heaven, by choosing the place that we think we are worthy of. What were the seats then that were available? The seats that they were choosing was a reflection of their own heart. But what were the seats that were available? Well, the seats were for those that were bidden. And so really it was none of them were worthy. There were some who thought they were worthy, and you find out in the story, if you were really looking at the story, that there were people who had money, they had means, they had relationships, they had farms, they had businesses, and all of that. But the seats that were available, really, at the end of the day, and the seats that ended up being filled, were seats for people who recognized they had need and they were hungry. So the seats that they chose, according to what they thought they were worthy of, the seats that were available, they were seats for those who needed something that only this person could provide. You know, the gospel is, that's what the gospel is all about. It's for those who know they have need. There were many people that were listening to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus references some of them, and he says, when you are having a feast, he said, don't invite those who you think will return the same in kind to you and invite you back.
No, he says, invite those who have need. Invite the publicans and the sinners and the blind and the maimed and the halt and the disabled. Those who cannot provide a meal for themselves. Those who cannot meet their own need. Invite them. Why did he say that? Because that's what God does. You see, if you want to be in heaven, it is not by the seat that you choose in order of worthiness, according as you see it. But it's the seat that God offers to a fantastic provision. And the seats are for those that are hungry, those that need what God has to provide. Do you need what God has to provide? You see, what God has provided is really, really important. So much so that he invested everything. He gave his only son. And the seats are in heaven are for those who do not deserve it. They are sinners. So the seats that were available were for those that were hungry. It was available for the hungry. Available for sinners, in other words. But thirdly, just think of the seats that were empty. Because when it came to this feast, there were seats that people had been invited, and they didn't come. They refused the invitation. Some were too busy. Some had their own piece of ground. Some had some oxen that they had to try. Some had married a wife or a husband, and they didn't even make an excuse. But they all had this in common. They refused a seat at this table. You see, there's people in this hall tonight, and they're saved. Their seat at heaven is guaranteed because they understood the gospel is for those who are sinners, those who had need, those who are hungry, those who long to be in heaven, those who could not provide it for themselves. That's the kind of people that took it. And yet there are seats in this story that were empty because the people refused. Can I ask you? You're invited to heaven. You know, the Bible says it's for whosoever. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are invited. But the question is this, will your seat be empty? Will you refuse the invitation? Because there was one seat above all other seats at this table. If you read the Matthew portion, you'll find out that this was about a marriage for this man's son. There was a seat for the son. You know the seat that this man gave his son? It's the very best seat. And it was to be shared with those that responded. Do you know the very best seat in heaven? We hear about it from Hebrews chapter 1. That when he had finished the work, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The best seat in heaven is for the Son, the Savior, who came to die for sinners. So he could fill heaven with sinners like you and I, forgiven of our sins. And God has said the best seat is for the Son. But there are seats that are linked for those who are linked with the Son, those who receive the Son, and they can share the feast in heaven. You know, the feast, the seat in heaven that's available is not just for the hungry. It's not for those who refuse, but it is for those who receive the Son, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our desire tonight, that you would receive the Son, and that in heaven you would sit down with him at the feast in heaven and recognize this, the most important one in heaven. He gave himself for me. He died for my sins and will be linked with the Son forever. The seats at the feast.